Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
From time to time, I think all of us ask the same question: am I really following God's will? Am I on the right path of discipleship? Well, the answer to those questions can be found in the first reading for this weekend, from the book of the prophet Samuel. Here you have the wonderful story of God calling Samuel into discipleship. This teaches us some great lessons about how we can find God's will for us and then go about in doing it. If you look up and down throughout sacred scripture, God calls us into discipleship. He does, not from afar away, but instead he enters into our life. Moses, when tending sheep in the desert, he encounters God in the form of a burning bush on the top of Mount Sinai. Isaiah, while in the temple praying, suddenly is encountered by an angel, and the angel is the emissary for God. Paul, while riding to the town of Damascus to arrest the members of a Christian community, there he is struck down from his horse, and here he hears the words of Jesus Christ spoken to him. The first step in knowing God's will for us is to know and to trust in the fact that God actively pursues us into discipleship. We do not pursue God. Instead, it is God who pursues us. What must we do? Allow ourselves to be caught. Next in the story, it says, Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord when the ark of God was. Well, both Samuel and Eli are sleeping, and that's bad. It's a basic biblical truth. Again, if you look up and down sacred scripture, sleeping in the Bible is symbolic of a bad thing. Where else do we see people sleeping in the moments of crises? Well, the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, here he's at the greatest moment of sorrow when he needs the prayerful support of his apostles. Peter, James, and John are sound asleep. Jesus is on the cusp of doing something that will change the world, the universe, forever: his suffering, death, and resurrection. And yet the apostles aren't able to see this, because they're fast asleep. They're not awakened to the spiritual reality of Jesus Christ's impending death and resurrection. The same thing happens here with Samuel. Samuel is fast asleep. Now notice where he's sleeping: in the temple of the Lord. Samuel, like the apostles, is asleep. He is not awakened to the spiritual reality of the presence of God in his own midst. The second step of knowing God's will for us is to remain awake. And we can, depending upon our motivation. We are awake. We are awake to our careers, to entertainment, to relationships. We are awake to money and materialism. Unfortunately, when we are awake to those things, we are sleeping in the spiritual life. How must we stay awake? Paul tells us in Galatians. He says, pray unceasingly. We must remain alert and awake in our spiritual life. Prayer is just one way in which we stay awake: a daily prayer life, an active sacramental life, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Those are just a few ways in which we remain awake, awake to the presence of Christ in our life. Next, God calls Samuel. It said, the Lord called Samuel, who answered, here I am. Samuel ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. I did not call you, Eli said, go back to sleep. So he went back to sleep. Again, the Lord called Samuel, who rose and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said. "You called me." But Eli answered, "I did not call you, my son. Go back to sleep." A third step in knowing God's will for us is to be able to prayerfully discern the voices in our life. We must be able to discern God's voice from all the other voices that we have in our life. A great example of this is a story of St. Peter called Quo Vadis, Latin for "Where are you going?" The story is one in which Peter, after Jesus' ascension into heaven, began the work of evangelization, just like all the apostles. His work led him to Rome. Now, as he was working to build a Christian community there and evangelize, word got out that the Emperor Nero set a trap for Peter. Nero sent out the Roman army to arrest Peter and to execute him. Well, Peter's disciples found out about this plan, and they immediately went to Peter and told him about it and strongly urged him to leave Rome and save his life. Well, Peter listened to them. And as he was on his way of leaving Rome and leaving the gates of the city of Rome, he noticed a person far off in the distance. He recognized him. As the person came closer, Peter realized it was Jesus Christ. And as Jesus came closer to Peter, Peter said, "My Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus said to Peter, "To Rome, to be crucified again." Peter looked at Jesus and said, "My Lord, I will come with you." As they made their way into the city of Rome, suddenly Jesus ascended back into heaven. And upon seeing this, Peter wept bitterly. He knew the words that Jesus spoke to him were prophetic. Jesus was speaking of Peter's own martyrdom. Peter recognized that he must stay in Rome and give his life for Christ and be martyred. And yet, Christ would be with him every step of the way. See, Peter realized that he made a mistake listening to his own disciples who were telling him to leave Rome and save his life when Jesus Christ himself was telling him to stay and give your life for me. Friends, we all have many voices in our life. These voices come in many different forms, in the form of our media, our culture, our friends, telling us how we are to act, what we are to value, how we are to live our life. Like Peter, we can be easily distracted from all these voices and be duped by them and follow them. Instead, what we must do is prayerfully discern God's voice amongst all the other voices that we have in our life and follow God's voice, because His voice will lead to His will. Next, we have in the story, it says, Eli understood that the Lord was calling the youth. So he said to Samuel, "Go to sleep, and if you are called, reply, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Well, this is beautiful. When discerning God's will, yes, we must be attentive to God's voice amongst all the other voices in our life, but sometimes it's hard for us. It's hard for us to know God's voice. As it says in previous verses, at that time Samuel was not familiar with the Lord because the Lord had not revealed anything to him as of yet. And so Samuel was not familiar with God's voice. Step 4 in discerning God's will for us is the fact that we need to seek help. Help from others to know and recognize God's call, especially from people who have already received and recognized God's voice. We need the help of good and holy people. And why not? Players need coaches. Students need teachers. So why do not we need good and holy people in our life? People who have already heard the voice and recognize it and now teach us. We need the help of teachers and priests and nuns, good and holy people, maybe even in our own family. Like Samuel, we sometimes cannot understand God's voice or recognize it. Therefore, we need the help of others to help us discern that call. At the end of the story, God calls Samuel again. And Samuel responds by saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." A third step in discerning God's will is God's call is personal. That's a personal invitation for us all. We have to recognize that God's call is by name. Notice, God calls Samuel by name. He doesn't say, "Hey, kid, come here," or "Hey, you, get over here." He knows him intimately. We have to understand and, again, trust in the fact that our God is a God that is not some distant figure far away in some galaxy. Instead, he's incredibly close to us. He knows us intimately. Great example of this is God's call for Jeremiah into discipleship. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were even born, I dedicated you, a prophet to all the nations." Yes, God knows us intimately. He calls us by name. Just reference the New Testament stories of Mary. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary and he calls her by her first name. Jesus, when he calls his apostles, he knows them by their first name. God knows us. In fact, I would say God knows us better than we know ourselves. That's a great indication of how intimately God knows each and every one of us. One last thing. Samuel, yes, he follows God's will. At the very end, it said, "Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect." Samuel becomes one of the greatest of all the prophets in the history of Israel. Yes, he experiences joys in his ministry, but also challenges and difficulties. Following God's will not always be easy for us. God never promised that for us. Jesus Christ never promised that to his apostles or his disciples. But the one thing that he did promise is that Jesus Christ said, "I will be with you until the end of time." So we must hold on to that and grasp it. Friends, last week we heard a wonderful lesson in the gospel about what we need to know about the spiritual life. This week, God gives us this beautiful story of the call of Samuel, teaches us how we too are called, how we are called to know God's will and then to do it. First and foremost, trust that God is very close to us in our life. He's not some distant figure. Second, be awake. Be awake prayerfully, sacramentally, in the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Second, recognize that there are many voices in our life, but the most important voice is the voice of God that tells us what we should be doing in our life. Next, recognize that we need help from good, holy people in our life to recognize and discern God's voice from all the voices in our life. And finally, once we hear God's voice, do and act upon it, just like Samuel did, recognizing that doing God's will is going to have joys, but it'll also have challenges. But Jesus Christ will be with us until the end of time. And that is a promise that we can all hold on to. Friends, I strongly encourage you, take some time this week. Read and pray over the first reading for the book of the prophet Samuel. Samuel's call by God into discipleship. It's our call. Put yourself in the place of Samuel, and then you too will utter the words of Samuel. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.